Hey. Hey. It's my name's T.W. Davis. I'm the lead pastor here, and I'm excited that you're here with us. It is finally the Christmas season, right? Amen. We had our, like Cody was saying, we had our community event yesterday called Christmas at High Point, and I am so proud of our people and how much fun they had. And how welcoming everyone was to our community. We had over 70 volunteers. We gave away 265 plus gifts in addition to Bibles and books. I saw prayer happening with people that I don't know. I saw smiling families. I saw kids sugared up. I heard laughing. I heard cheers with yelling of bingo. Saw people of all ages sitting together working on puzzles. And I saw people who I personally know don't believe in Jesus here at our church, putting crosses on picture frames with their families and seeing what Christian hospitality is supposed to look like. It was a great day. And I got to share one story with you from yesterday. As you all know, our hearts for the homeless volunteers are amazing. And they are amazing. And some of the volunteers that Ebony pulls from are from the community and from other churches. So they can... That is not part of my sermon. I know Dan had that one time. I do not. all right. And some of those volunteers that are coming from other churches and from the community, they were helping here yesterday, and the Hearts for the Homeless were the ministry that were in charge of the gift giving. And some of those volunteers asked, "Where'd you get all these toys from? Did you talk to Walmart and work out a deal? Did you go to Target? Did you go to the Amazon thing and, you know, the return stuff that they don't want and you don't know how much it's going to cost until you just roll in and they block your cell phone from knowing how much it's really supposed to be?" Didn't know that, did you? But where'd you get all this? And when we said it comes from High Point members, High Point attenders, High Point visitors, our guests, they all gave it. They looked shocked. Shocked. It is a foreign concept to them that a congregation would dive so deeply into their pockets for a community event. These are fellow Christians saying this, and they loved it. But it made me sad, and I was talking to somebody about it, and I said, it makes me sad that every church doesn't have that same emphasis, that same commitment. And I was reminded, as I was lamenting that, I was reminded that, but we got to show those Christian volunteers what it can look like, and now they're going to their churches. So all that to say, I am proud of you, High Point. I am proud of you, and thank you for letting me serve you as lead pastor. All right. Yeah, you'll make me cry. Quit. One of the aspects of Christmas that makes it so special and meaningful for so many people is the cherished traditions that we have that have been passed down. I was telling somebody that I still get an orange in my stocking every year from my parents because my great grandmother started that during the Depression. You know, I didn't have anything, so here's an orange. I didn't live during the Depression, in case there were any questions on that. At least not the big one. For example, one of the things that Jenny's family likes to do is they, since she was a kid, they all get together and they make cookies and sweets and desserts together. All different kinds. Everyone's got their own favorite, and they get together and they start rolling dough and mixing things and making shapes and dipping things in chocolate and Jenny's got some fond memories of that, and I got to be honest with you, I have appreciated this tradition as the years have gone. I mean, who doesn't like cookies and sweets? And Jenny enjoyed it so much that that's something that she does at our house now with our family. She's incorporated that into our, and I love seeing her and Thomas in the kitchen working on cookies every season, and I try my best to help, but you know how hard it is not to eat them? When you're making them, it's tough. But here's the thing, I know, self-control, I'm working on it. But here's the thing. As wonderful as our Christmas, our cherished Christmas traditions are, as Christians, we need to make sure we understand that the most meaningful aspect of Christmas is our opportunity to see the glory of Christ. That's the most significant thing by a long shot, all right? And that's what makes Christmas so special. It's when this is where the transition from tradition to truth becomes crucial. While traditions like cookie making with the family bring warmth and joy, that's a shadow of the light that comes into the world in Jesus Christ. And that's the reality. Our goal for Christmas is to see the glory of God. And if that gets lost or at least pushed to the side in the barrage of activities that come in the Christmas season, we have done a disservice to our Lord. I mean, there are decorations to put up. There are gifts to be purchased, food to be prepared, and honestly, too many family and social gatherings that we have to go to. And in the midst of all this, it's difficult to find much time for anything else. And that's why we need to be intentional about shifting our focus from the busyness of this season to the beauty and reality of the real Jesus. So I want to focus our attention on Jesus, all right? So now that we've finished our series on in our sermons for Family Sunday, which we called Real Jesus, we talked about what Jesus is not. And I want to spend our Advent season in John chapter 1. So John chapter 1. And this is going to help us focus on the real Jesus, the real reason for Christmas, and his glory, all right? So John chapter 1, we're going to be looking at 1 through 5 today. So if you want to turn in your Bible, in your app, we got Bibles on the back table. I would love to give that to you. Everybody should have access to the Word of God. So in this passage, John is introducing Jesus. This is his birth narrative, all right? And he explains why Jesus is so unique, so magnificent. And unfortunately, a lot of people create their own ideas about who Jesus is. This year, I'm already in 2026. Holy moly. This year, we looked at it and we called it Build-A-Bear Jesus. All right? We called it Build-A-Bear Jesus. Instead of listening to what God tells us in the Bible, this is crafting a Jesus who is basically a reflection of ourselves. Like a mirror reflecting our own values, our own ideals, our own opinions. And the result isn't Jesus as he is, but a Jesus constructed to suit our preferences. And that brings me to an important point. You can know facts about Jesus. Intellectually, you can know it, but that's not the same thing as living out the real Jesus in our everyday lives. Question isn't just, do you know Jesus? Question's also, do others see the real Jesus in you? Are we letting his light shine through our actions, through our words, through our relationships? To see who Jesus really is, the real Jesus, we got to look in the Bible, all right? That's where he tells us. And that's exactly what John 1 is doing, all right? So before we read it, I need to remind you, the ultimate purpose of this passage is to lead us into worship, okay? Worship is why we exist, and I'm not just talking about singing, all right? A.W. Tozer, he said, worship is our full reason for existence. Worship's why we were born. Worship's why we are born again. Thank you. I think some of us enjoy being busy for God more than we enjoy worshiping God. It reminds me of a lady who owned her own scrapbooking studio back when that was a thing. And she sometimes wished she'd never opened it because it added so much pressure that she couldn't enjoy scrapbooking the way she once did. That sound familiar? Many Christians are so busy working hard for God, they don't find time to enjoy God, to rely on God, to rejoice in God, to worship God. And our work for God is important, but is an important part of worship, but our work can never replace worship. God created and redeemed us first and foremost so we could worship Him. It's when we are true worshipers, then God can make a real impact in the world around us. You can't give something to someone that you lack. You can't explain the gospel if you haven't been worshiping Him and reading about it. You can't lead someone somewhere you've never been. We got to be careful not to let busyness displace worship. So in true Christmas tradition, I want you to kick up, sit by the fire of what is John 1:1-5. Maybe your heart's grown cold lately. Maybe your relationship with Jesus feels distant. Maybe you're in a spiritual deep freeze. This passage is meant to warm you up, okay? So own it. Here we go. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things are made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. Ooh. Give you goosebumps? The main idea of this passage is this. From the beginning, the Word was with God. The Word was God. And now the Word functions as the only source of life and light for all of humanity. I got to hear that again. Here we go. From the beginning, the Word was with God and was God and now functions as the only source of life and light for all of humanity. That's the real Jesus. We get to know Him. We get to know Him. Let's go back to 1 and 2. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning. This phrase, in the beginning, it's a reference to Genesis 1:1. Talking about a being who has always been, who's always existed. God is external. He's eternal. He's outside of time. And John refers to Him as the Word. Logos in Greek. In ancient philosophy, the concept of logos was this universal divine reason or mind that ordered the cosmos. And it's present in all things. A little bit of string theory, a little. But John claims that unlike an impersonal force, the Word is a personal being, a He, not an it. And the Word also connects the Old Testament in that God's words were creative and they were significant. By God's words, the world was created. And God reveals Himself to Israel through His words. Long ago, at many times, in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, He's spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed the heir of all things, through whom also He created the world. In the ultimate sense, Jesus is the Word made flesh, God communicating Himself in clarity to humanity. Remember that verse 1, it said the Word was with God. Scholars say a phrase for that could be continually oriented toward God. Highlights an intimate fellowship. God didn't create us out of loneliness. All right? He had eternal fellowship. In verse 1, it says, the word was God. That's non-negotiable here. Non-negotiable. When we were in Jordan, I made a friend with a guy whose name was Ahmed, and he told me he admired Jesus' moral teachings, but he just couldn't believe that Jesus was God. That doesn't make any sense, he said. And that's actually a common view here as well. But it's at odds with Scripture. Jesus isn't merely a moral teacher. He is God. C.S. Lewis said this. People often say, I'm ready to accept Jesus as a moral teacher, but I don't accept his claim to be God. That's the one thing that we must not say. A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things that Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic or else the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God or else a madman or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool. You can spit at him. You can kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us. So either Jesus is a lunatic and a liar, or he's God. And our salvation hinges on him being God. Because only God's death and resurrection can atone for humanity's sins. And then John keeps going. All things were made through him. And without him was not anything made that was made. Jesus isn't part of creation. He's the agent of creation. We owe him everything, including our very existence. We are accountable to him. John 1:4, in him was life. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. John isn't saying that he merely lived. He possessed intrinsic, self-sustaining life, the very essence of God himself. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. And this life is superior in quality. It is superior in quality. It offers a light that illuminates spiritual darkness. Imagine being lost in a pitch black cave, hopeless. When I was in Boy Scouts, we went to the Lost Sea in Tennessee, and you're about a mile underground. Feels like. And you get down there and they say, all right, this is what it feels like to be in total darkness. And everyone turns their flashlights off and then they turn the big lights off in this massive cave that can hold a whole football field. And it's dark. And I can't see anything. And on the other side of this cave, a football field away, somebody opened a door that had a light. And I could see that from forever away. But if the lights would have been on, I wouldn't have known that was there. When you are in the darkness, you feel hopeless until a small light appears. And then that darkness starts to dissipate. That's what Jesus' life offers. Hope. Hope, guidance, goodness in the midst of darkness. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. brings us back to the idea of the real Jesus. The real Jesus. We may know facts about him. You may have read these five verses 100 times in your life. You may know these verses. You might sing about him. You might study him. You might even pray to him. But the question is, do people see him in our lives? Are we living out the life and the light that he offers? Or is our faith more about knowledge than transformation? John Stott said, if you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus. Tim Keller keeps it going. If Jesus Christ is truly God, then the only way to know him is to obey him. Do others see the real Jesus in your words, in your actions, in your daily choices? Or are they seeing a watered down version of Jesus in you? The Christmas hymn, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, it's one of my favorites. It's one of my favorites, and the words and the concept of this story, of this hymn, come from this passage. Hark the herald, angels sing, glory to the newborn king. You know how hard it is not to sing this? You don't want that. Peace on earth. And mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful, all ye nations rise. Join the triumph of the skies. With angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity. Pleased as a man with men to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. This hymn celebrates Jesus. God in the flesh, bringing reconciliation and light into the dark world. And just as the angels proclaimed his glory, we are called to let the real Jesus shine in our lives. The hymn's words connect beautifully with Isaiah chapter 9. It was centuries before. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. For to us a child is born. To us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. 2 Corinthians reminds us this. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of God, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. True transformation doesn't come from willpower or from trying harder. It comes from seeing the real Jesus, from knowing the real Jesus. And if we see him in the life and the light that he offers, it begins to shine through us. And so this Christmas, let's focus not only on our traditions and our knowledge of the same scriptures we've heard over and over, the same songs that we've sung since we became Christians every single Christmas, but let's focus on living out the real Jesus. Let our neighbors, let our friends, let our family members, both the ones that annoy us and the ones we like, let them see Jesus in our actions. And let us see him. Let us worship him. Let us let his light shine through us in a world that so desperately needs it in the darkness. Because when you truly see the real Jesus, you can't help but reflect him. And that's exactly what Christmas is meant to do in us.